United Lutheran Seminary presents the Seminary Explores podcast, conversations on faith, art, people, politics, theology, life, and more, with voices from around the corner and around the globe. Welcome to the Seminary Explores. I'm Katie Giebenhain. My guest is photographer Jim Schlett, artist in residence at the Gettysburg National Military Park for late summer 2018. Jim, welcome to the Seminary Explores.
Thank you. It's been an extraordinary first 2 weeks.
So something that's quite interesting and unusual about you is how seasoned an artist you are for not only the residency programs, but also just as a visitor to many of the national parks as an artist. Could you say something about that?
Sure. I have two very lifelong basic passions. One is photography and one is history, especially the Civil War. Back in high school, believe it or not, my senior year's term paper was on the Battle of Gettysburg, and I've been kind of hooked ever since. About 25 years ago, my wife suggested a national park vacation, which was, even though we visited some of them, we had never done that before. That got us hooked with a two-week trip to the Tetons and Yellowstone that every year we've made a point to at least try to get to New Park. Over the past 30 years, we now have a record of 140-something out of the 425 sites.
Wow.
Our goal eventually is hopefully to get to all of them. And there are experiences, at least we never forget. The rangers and the employees at the parks are just extraordinary. They have a background of historical facts that would take you reading 30 books to come up with one of their tours. In 2016, I was actually selected for a park in California, Northern California, Whiskeytown National Recreation Area.
And this is a park not a lot of people have heard of, right?
It is a park a lot of people have never heard of, including people in California, 4 hours away in San Francisco. It was actually created through a whole series of waterwork projects in the 50s and early 60s. And the park was actually dedicated by John F. Kennedy about 30 days before he was assassinated.
Oh my goodness.
And they claim it was the largest gathering of people in Northern California up to that point in time.
Wow.
It's just an extraordinary park. It was also, unfortunately, in the middle of the car fires of several weeks ago. So a lot of it is pretty devastated right now, and they're trying to figure out all ways to get it back up and running. And since that time, this year has been like the lottery for me, because I've been selected in four other parks, Gettysburg, Catoctin, Manassas National Battlefield, and the Homestead out in Nebraska.
And I think you had mentioned that there is a Lincoln connection between the four of these parks, and that's pretty special.
It is. I look for connections everywhere, especially since I retired. I don't call it retiring because it's photography. I call it refocusing. When you apply for an artist in resident program, every park is different about how they do the application park process, and only about 40 out of the 420 sites have the program. This year I applied to about 15 or 16, and as the selection process was being worked through, you never hear them all at the same time. They're all staggered about when they do the whole process.
Yeah, the deadlines are different.
Yeah, right. Deadlines are all different. Some go a year out, some are 30 days or 60 days process. And this year I wound up being selected for the four I mentioned, Catoctin, Manassas, Gettysburg, and the Homestead. And people always see the connection initially on the first three of the Battle of Manassas as Lincoln is pressing at the beginning of the war to get his troops out there to fight a battle. He also, a lot of historians think, issued the first press pass to a photographer 2 days after the battle to Matthew Brady. Catoctin, of course, is where Camp David is. It also is where a lot of Jeb Stuart's cavalry, at least the historians have told us, is kind of shielded the retreat for Lee's army out of Gettysburg. So Lincoln is connected with that because he was always had the opinion that Meade could have closed in and actually defeated the army on the retreat. At Gettysburg, of course, is the largest battle ever in the North American continent, and Lincoln comes here several months later to do the Gettysburg Address. And the one in Homestead always stumps people because that's in the middle of nowhere in Nebraska. And in 1862, while all of this is going on, Abraham Lincoln signs a bill for the Homestead Act, which basically opens all the open territories in the West to homesteaders under some requirements that they could get it, in essence, almost free land if they stayed on the land and homesteaded. And that park is about that whole history and what it was like on those kind of homesteads and farms. So I've gathered this Lincoln connection to all four sites.
So you have a fantastic year unfolding.
I do. The difficulty I've told people is I try to get 5 to 10 good images every day, which means I take a lot more.
Oh, sure. A lot
of images that is in the editing process. So when I finished the last project in mid-October in Nebraska, what I then have to do is then go through thousands of images to pick out the best. Because one of the stipulations with the national parks is when you're done, in addition to putting on a workshop, you're also required or asked to donate at least one piece back to the park. So I'll have to be going through that. And in that process, it can get very interesting because rather than me select what I think is the best, I generally give them an option of here's my best 5 or 10 pictures and either let the superintendent or somebody in the park do it. And when I made that suggestion up in Catoctin, what they actually did is had all the employees look through them, and they wound up making a sort of a group selection, which ironically was my personal selection for I thought was my best picture. It was a vertical picture of trees in the morning, just about 200 yards from the building they had us lodged at. Every morning for about 4 days, we had this beautiful fog mist roll through, and this one day I just got what I thought was a superlative image, and apparently they did too. So the winter will be editing and getting that stuff ready for them.
Well, and your time here in Gettysburg, there's a bit of a sort of crossroads emphasis that you're focusing on, correct?
That was my initial project, is because this battle was fought here with all of the history I've read about it, is all of these 10 roads coming together here, is my proposal was taking views of a number of those sites and trying to tie that into a final image. Even though we've come here 40 or 50 times over the last 30 years, the project itself is a little more complicated than I thought, because all of the modern roads that those roads have turned into don't make a great view for trying to have that as it was. So what I've tended to do now is I'm still working on the crossroads idea, but with the idea of stuff off to the side of the road, such as the barns, some of the statues, the memorials of, and I've gotten some I think stunning images in the morning along some of those roads of the statues, either with sunrise or sunset. In fact, I'm trying to remember the day now because I've been here about 16 days. It was about 2 days ago while we were out on the Chambersburg Road where the statue is to Buford. I was there for a sunrise, and I've always told people at my workshops is when you go out for a sunrise or sunset, always look behind you, because sometimes the cloud formations behind you with the sun's hitting them are so even more spectacular than the sunset.
Yes.
And that's exactly what happened at the Buford Memorial the other day. Is I'm looking at the sunset, I happen to turn around, there's a cloud formation with a portion of a prism in the clouds that looked like a small rainbow. That was just no sign of rain, but the prism is there and it just was spectacular. And I was just glad I had turned around at that time because I was concentrating on the sun. I completely forgot it. It was actually when I left, they were very dark gray clouds. It just turned into this spectacular weave of, and I can probably show you a picture later, of what it looked like, which was spectacular. And the same thing happened one night at the Eisenhower Farm. On Wednesday nights, they do a program called Sunset with the Eisenhowers. And they take you out on the side of the building, set up some benches, and they talk about a different topic every Wednesday night. On this particular one, the Ranger Alice was talking about Ike and Mamie's marriage and how great it was despite some of the circumstances they had throughout the entire time they were married. And while she was talking, there was a heavy cloud bowing to the west. For about 5 minutes, this unbelievable set of rays came through and were literally on the ranger while she was talking.
Oh my goodness.
It really was spectacular. Nobody else noticed it. At least they weren't taking pictures of it. But as soon as I saw it, I had to get up, move around, and get some pictures of it. And when I showed it to the rangers afterwards, she goes, boy, that almost looks spiritual. And it really did. I mean, you have to be on the lookout for pictures. And even though I catch all the talks and try to absorb what they're telling me, at the same time, I'm looking for those kind of pictures of something else people might not see.
Wow. So what are some of the other maybe surprise? I don't know if surprises is the right word, but as someone who is very familiar with this place and who knows a lot about history, still this is its own. This is a very specific time when you're here and you have a certain focus, and it's still different than all of the other times,
yes,
right?
It is.
So are there some other things besides this lovely experience that you just mentioned that
One of the things I had done every day almost is we tried to make a ranger talk every day. And my wife is here with me. Some of the parks allow spouses or significant others to accompany them. And she's sort of my quartermaster, that she helps organize our day. And we've been taking in ranger talks and stopping at the visitor center most days. And typically the first thing I ask the ranger, either before or after the tour, is there anything in Gettysburg that you can think of that hasn't been well photographed, or that you in fact think, I've been by that 100 times and that should be photographed? And I've gotten a laundry list of 25 so far.
Oh my goodness.
Great suggestions. I've done some of them already. One of the volunteers at the visitor center, Rob, suggested some stuff out on the Calvary Field, which is very rarely visited. And there's, you know, been a very good list of this. One of the Robert E. Lee life actors, Frank Orlando, recommended some area where the very beginning of the battle was, that is right on the verge of some national park territory, that he said this really isn't even used by anybody else or no development. There's a Wilbur's Run is through there, mm-hmm. he says, because it really hasn't been touched in 150 years. It would make worthwhile photographs. So as my day goes on, I try to incorporate a visit to one or two of those sites every day. Another person had recommended the area by the old almshouse, which has now turned into sort of a really well-preserved graveyard area, which we hadn't been up there in many years, and it's really been preserved very well, and it made for some spectacular, you know, sunrise shortly thereafter pictures of some of the fences with the graveyards in the background. So I am open to suggestions. In fact, even this morning with the foundation people, I made an offer to them, and she says, well, we probably do have a list of things we'd like photographed, if you can do it while you're here. And I said, well, I've got 13 more days. I will make every effort if I'm in those areas to try to stop by. And the other interesting thing is a lot of those images wind up becoming something I exhibit down the road. So I'm actually very grateful for the suggestions.
It's a great question, though. For people who really, you know, there are folks that know the land here like the back of their hand, and to ask what hasn't been, because of course there are certain things that are just, you see the images of all the time.
Yes.
And I just think that's a great question.
Yes, actually, that's one of the things the foundation people told me. They want more pictures of the Round Top, but very carefully said, we do have enough of the general up there with the sunset behind it. She goes, we have and I've done that myself. In fact, I was telling her a story. We went up there twice so far this trip. One day during the week, which was uncrowded, and it was a nice sunset. The second day was a weekend where the place is packed, and a lot of people running up there with 2 minutes to spare before sun just, and it just turned into almost sort of like a mob scene. Mm-hmm. But it was actually a little funny to watch all these other photographers. One of the things I try to do on any of these things is, when I first go there, is this the best time to photograph it? Does the light look right? Because I will often go back to a site two or three times. Like you said, you've been here many times. Each time I come here, in a lot of sense, it's it's almost like a first time, even though I photographed something. In one of Ansel Adams' books, he had said something to the effect, you know, taking a good photograph is knowing the right place to stand. And I found sometimes if you just move 5 or 10 feet away, the whole photograph changes dramatically. So I've told my wife, I don't think I could ever get tired of coming here.
Wow. And another thing that I find interesting is this mixture of, you know, you're an artist, a photographer, and you also have some commercial background. You were working for the U.S. government for quite a while, right. But you also, so there's this mixture, and what I was thinking of is also this sense of also asking what's needed, mm-hmm. right? And I think, would you say that might come a little bit from talking to clients in the past, too?
I would say not only clients, but my whole career in the Postal Service. I know this sounds a little strange tying that back in, is I worked at headquarters for the vast majority of it, and I worked in a lot of different fields that were to the point. I would generally get a request when an opening came in a completely new department is, you know, you did work for us in contracting. We need a manager to take over our facilities program. Please apply for the job. And I took over a program at one point that I had no background in whatsoever. And the manager said to me, he goes, well, I know you get things done. You deliver. And it was this enormous program that had all these legal complications. And one of the first things we had to do was survey 35,000 post offices across the country for accessibility regulations.
Yeah.
And within 3 years, we had completed that. We had done 10,000 projects. So that kind of led to this question that I always ask is, like, what do you need? When we went to the field about the project, is what sort of resources do you need to be able to do this stuff? And that goes when I, you know, take photographs, as much as I'd like to say this is a unique view, is I often ask my wife, do you think this works? Of getting customer feedback. And when I do a show, even if I don't sell a lot of work, I see people, you know, looking at the work, I'll ask them, you know, what hit you about the photograph, or is there something missing here? So,
and that's fascinating. So even at the exhibit stage, yeah. to ask what's, you know, what's here, but also what's missing. I love it.
Right, because I found two things. One is, people will always start this negotiation process with you at exhibits, and there's sort of a 10% where I will negotiate. And at other points, I say, well, what else is missing about this photograph? Or ones that typically sell more, if I've put a piece in a work 5 or 6 times and it hasn't sold, I know there's some sort of psychological reason that piece isn't going to sell, so I will sort of farm that work to the back and not use it anymore. And again, that goes back to trying to picture some of these pictures on people's houses, rooms, and halls. That's one thing about people who have a real interest in the Civil War. They tend to really like some of the images I've done, especially like on the Remembrance Day weekend of some of the soldiers
yes.
at the cemetery, or even some of the ceremonies at the cemetery. So I'd like people to have them in their house where they're really glad they bought the piece of work. And the same thing applies when somebody said, when I did Manassas, they wrote an article in Northern Virginia magazine, and they said, well, how will you know if this was successful? And I said, well, what I'd like is the coordinator to say, Jim's been one of the best people we've had here.
Oh.
If they say that, I feel like it's been successful for me, and it's been successful for them. Sometimes you can have people who come to the sites, at least feedback I've gotten, where they're not quite sure what the end result was. And even this morning with the foundation people, Ellie said to me, she goes, you're the first artist in 3 years that's actually contacted us about sitting down and talking about your work. And now that you've done it, we're surprised. You know, no, we hadn't even thought of it. We were going to try to figure out a way, can we do this in the future? So I went from being very introverted early in my life to now being extroverted.
Uh-huh.
I actually had to work in our communications department for 6 months on a special assignment at the Postal Service. And one of the things I learned there is you have to tell everybody, give them a message at least 3 times before it sinks in. So that's what I try to do with this outreach I do to local people when I'm at these assignments. And again, it's made a lot of interesting connections for me too.
Yeah, wow. Excellent. So do you have anything that you'd like to say about the, you've got a couple of public programs coming up, right?
Yes. One of the requirements at all the parks is you have to put on at least one public process. I actually offer two, and the first one, weather permitting, is this Saturday night. I've done this at Manassas called a Sunset Tour, Capturing the Magic Light. I always find the first hour and the last hour are probably the best times for photography, at least for me. And it's to get some ideas or pass them on to people who, anywhere from an amateur with a smartphone to some very advanced professionals. And it's sort of an open talk about what I view are the key issues of a good photograph. I give them a little bit of an explanation about the artist in resident program, because inevitably there's a couple people who have never heard of the program, and now that they've met me, they want to be an artist in resident. So I give them that, and then we take a walk around the battlefield up near the Meade statue of some of the monuments. And I don't really bring my camera that night except my smartphone to watch them. But it is amazing, because I've done this at Manassas. I had 15 people running around with tripods and looking up angles that they had never seen before. And in that case, since we only had 15, at the end of the session, after the sun had gone down, I asked each person, you know, what did you learn from the seminar? And we had 15 unique answers about everything from eliminating distractions to getting there early and pre-planning to what somebody was going to do with the print when they got it done. So I thought we made a pretty good connection. And actually, two or three of those people have since contacted me to show me some of their work. So
very good. That's more of a workshop format almost. It's really...
Yes, it's an informal sort of talk. And at the same time, for, 45 to 50 minutes, here's things you can do to improve your picture. The second workshop that I offered is one that Chris Quinn, the manager over there, mm-hmm. about the Ranger programs, has indicated. Typical, it's in the visitor center. It's September 8th from 10 to 1, which I get to display some of my work. They're going to give me a table and some easels, and people come up and talk about my work and photography. And we brought up a number of large canvas pieces we're hoping to be able to get up on their easels and across the wall. So, and that always sparks conversation with me. One of the interesting things was several years ago at Remembrance Day, after they do the parade, after the speeches are done, I went over to the cemetery, and there's a number of very dedicated, what I call Civil War actors, mm-hmm. because they're mm-hmm. actually in that role. And this guy was, I can't remember which state he was from, and he was literally in the full uniform, the backpack, and he was kneeling down in front of graves. And from an angle, I took a whole series of pictures of him. I posted one on Facebook to a Civil War site, and that night I got an email back, that's me in the picture. Is it possible to get a copy of it? Which, it's just remarkable when you make those connections with people, that he thought it was good enough to get a picture of it. And it was a moment that, you would find almost in a photojournalism, completely unstaged. He didn't even know I was taking photos, mm-hmm. and saying, boy, that's a great photo, can I get a copy of it? And a lot of times I've made the offer to the people at the park in Eisenhower, is while I'm here, if you guys need any special photographs, give me what you need, and I'll make an effort to stop by and give them to you. Because I feel this program is so good to the artist. Mm-hmm. Being able to come here, get lodging in an historic building in the middle of the battlefield, is that...
And it's rare to get to sleep on the battlefield, right?
Yes, yes, it's rare to, and we're right in the Emmitsburg Road where all of the troops are coming across during Pickett's Charge and part of the second day, that I always make that offer, saying if there's anything else that you need while I'm here, I'll make an effort to take it. And so in addition to the print that I give them, I also give them a CD with just various pictures I took. And in fact, I was telling the woman at the foundation this morning, one of the things that's going to come out of this is I do have an exhibition in December back in Herndon in an art gallery about the national parks. But I've taken so many pictures now of the Rangers, and I make that same offer to them. Uh-huh. I give them a card. I said, I got some good pictures of you. Send me an email mm-hmm. and let me know if you're interested in getting a copy. I give them to for free. Is I've now gotten so many good pictures of the National Park Service employees, including I've stopped at when they're doing maintenance projects on the barns and things and got that. Is that somewhere down the road I have a project, I think, called The Faces of the National Parks with a lot of their employees in their jobs, not really posed of these are the people that make this park
wow,
service
yeah.
work. So
that
it's been great.
Excellent.
Yes. I mean, it's been great. I people said, has anything negative happened in any of the four of the ones I've already done? And I said, nothing that I could think of off the top of my head. Even my wife has said that. We had one interesting event in one of the parks where we had a snake in the cabin.
Oh dear, yeah.
And that was our worst. But when the Rangers told us that night, if it's a black snake, which apparently it was, that was a good sign because that would ensure there would be no mice in the cabin.
And well, there you go.
Yes, that's what we said. That has been probably the only thing, and most people out here who live on farms tell me that's common in their houses
yeah.
to find either snake or mice there. So everything else has been fabulous.
Part of the experience.
Part of the experience.
Well, I wish you, for these upcoming days, for the conclusion of your residency, just further a wonderful time, and I want to thank you for your time today.
Well, thank you. It's been a pleasure talking about this. There's one other person I'd like to mention in the grand scheme of things, at least at Gettysburg, and that's Tanya Ortega. She's
yeah.
with the National Parks Arts Foundation, mm-hmm. which helps some of the national parks, not only in Gettysburg, but some of the other ones, keep these programs up and running. And they gave me a lot of information once I was selected for this about preparing for it and getting ready and where you were going to stay. So that group has been fabulous. So I'm trying to make sure everything here worked fabulous for me. And it has. It's been so fabulous. We have several groups of people coming up from Virginia over the next week and a half to come up and go to the visitor center or go out to lunch with me in the middle of the day to give me a break. So word has spread down to Virginia. This is well worthwhile.
You've been listening to The Seminary Explores. I'm Katie Giebenhain. My guest has been artist Jim Schlett, current artist in residence at the Gettysburg National Military Park. See some of his images on his website, photomanva.zenfolio.com. Jim, thanks so much.
Thank you very much.
You have been listening to The Seminary Explores, a production of United Lutheran Seminary with campuses in Gettysburg, Pennsylvania, and Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. We invite you to visit our website at unitedlutheranseminary.edu. Opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of United Lutheran Seminary or the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America.